This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The IRS is taking heat for allegations or revelations that they targeted groups with questions about their political affiliations. Many of those groups were Tea Party groups, 9/12 groups, groups with the word patriot in their names. And many people are wondering, is this a violation of the Constitution? Is this political strongman of twisting arms of opposition organizations that were opposed to views of the White House and the Barack Obama administration? We're going to be talking to a representative of the San Antonio Tea Party, Tom Shoemaker. He's the VP of Communications for the San Antonio Tea Party, about their experience. And also Tom Camp, the former formerly of the IRS Office of Chief Counsel, and he's now a law professor at Texas Tech University. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. Appreciate the invitation.
And we want to have our callers to join in on this as well. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. So, Tom Shoemaker, tell me about the San Antonio Tea Party's experience with the IRS. You are a group that's joined a lawsuit saying that y'all were penalized and targeted by the IRS and somehow were dealt with unfairly. So tell me about your experience.
Well, that's true. Thank you, David. Well, San Antonio Tea Party just came into existence, as you know, in April of 2009 with a big demonstration at the Alamo with a nationally syndicated talk show hosting it there.
Glenn Beck, I was there.
There you go. And, well, at that rally, that's when we really formed. That's when we were born. We put together a group. And then in filing all the paperwork and everything you need to be an organization, we figured out we do need to file taxes, income taxes. So in August of 2010, we applied for a 501c4 status as a nonprofit organization with the IRS. Never heard a word from the IRS until February of last year, February of 2012, so about a year and a half later. When here came a package of 8 pages of single-spaced questions of the kind that you've seen and heard about in the news. So, you know, who are your donors? Who are your speakers? You know, who all were the attendees at your meetings? We looked at that, and it kind of took everybody aback and started scratching our heads. How are we going to deal with this? In March of 2012, the American Center for Law and Justice had contacted several Tea Party organizations, this was also happening to across the country, and contacted us and said, would you like us to represent you in this? So in March, we signed an agreement with the ACLJ, the yes, we would. We continued putting together the information that the IRS had asked for. Then the ACLJ took that forward for us to the IRS on May 27th of 2012. And we finally got our designation from the IRS on June 21st of 2012.
Okay, so on June 21st, 2012, the San Antonio Tea Party was approved to become a 501c4 organization.
Yes, sir.
Why are y'all so what's the problem?
Okay. Well, the problem is that it took us out of the primary season. We're an organization that educates people, educates voters. We look for conservative points of view. We hold candidate forums where the candidates can come before our groups and talk to us. Then we have people that go out and actually on their own, not as Tea Party members, they can volunteer, but they're looking for information. And our organization was just thrown aback for those few months right at the beginning of the 2012 because it's a small organization. It's all run by volunteers. There's not one paid person in the Tea Party that had to devote all their time to trying to answer these questions, even after the ACLJ took it over, that we had to answer all these questions. And it took up the time of the organizers of the group to put these things together. There were very extensive questions.
So you're saying that when you got the packet from the IRS with the 8 pages with all the questions in February of 2012,
right,
that you were unable to operate as a voter education project?
Primarily, yep, because if you look, that's 8 pages single-spaced of questions, because you can imagine how many questions they could cram into
there. So how many questions?
Not sure. I didn't, you know, tally them up. But it would take time to answer those. And you get your board and your folks together, and, you know, not one person can put all that together. So you have to divvy that up and start working on getting the answers. So a lot of it was in the time period when we would have been organizing. And on the other hand, too, a lot of our people, we didn't hide anything from our members. We told them what was going on. And a lot of them stopped donating any money. A lot of them stopped coming to any meetings. A lot of them didn't want to be involved in anything that was going to involve this investigation from the IRS.
And those people stopped doing that specifically because of the IRS?
They were scared. Yep, there were a lot of them scared off that if their name got submitted, if the IRS insisted on knowing that they were a donor, that they could possibly be audited, which has come true for some of the groups that's happened to. But they just were uncertain. They didn't know what it was, and they were buffaloed. They backed off. A lot of people backed off.
So that's where you're saying the damage was done, because the IRS. And you don't think this is just the normal operation of the IRS trying to figure out when you apply for tax-free status like you were doing, that they could this wasn't just doing their normal scrutiny of organizations?
Well, we had no real way of knowing if it was or it wasn't, but in the telling and the things that have come out lately, yeah, it was extraordinary, and it was targeted towards groups, like you said, that had Patriot in their groups or Constitutional or True the Vote or any of those type of organization or Tea Party. We were all finding the same kind of scrutiny where other organizations were not, and their applications were going through in a lot faster fashion. So it looked like they were discriminating against us, yes.
Okay, and so in this lawsuit that you're part of, what are y'all trying to achieve?
Well, that primarily, we signed that agreement with the ACLJ to represent us. Okay, I'm not a lawyer, and I can't really get into the specifics of that, but we decided to join with the other 24 Tea Parties in doing this as a matter of principle. Whether anything comes out of it, we don't know, you have no way of knowing that. But as a matter of principle, we're standing with the other Tea Parties, and there were at least 10 of them that still haven't gotten their applications approved. So when the ACLJ asked us if we'd like to be part of that, we said yes, we would.
So you're joining the lawsuit in what capacity? Because you already got your thing, but you're doing it because...
Because we were impaired in our exercise of our free speech.
How were you impaired? I really don't... I'm not able to process that. Tell me again.
Well, it took everybody away from the
But,
business.
I mean, I still saw the emails. I still saw y'all were having meetings. Y'all still had forums. You know, those things still happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the case that's going to be made by our lawyers with the ACLJ. They'll have that kind of information to show that the damages that were being done to us.
Okay, all right. I've got to take this quick break. We're going to bring Brian Camp in from Texas Tech University. He's a former official with the IRS office. He can explain some of these point of views. We also want to hear from you. Give us a call. Join us, 614-8980. We're talking about the San Antonio Tea Party and the IRS on The Source. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking with the Tom Shoemaker. He's the VP of Communications for the San Antonio Tea Party. He's been sharing his experience with the San Antonio Tea Party trying to qualify, or they did qualify for 501c4 tax-free status with the IRS. He says it took a lot of time and energy, and that time and energy took away from their mission of trying to educate voters about their conservative point of view. We're going to go ahead and bring in Brian Camp. He's from Texas Tech University, a law professor. He is a formerly of the IRS Office of Chief Counsel. Mr. Camp, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
All right, sir.
And so thanks for getting my first name right. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Although my middle name is Tom, so I have a lot in common with Tom Shoemaker.
There you go. Thank you.
Oh, okay, great. Well, Mr. Camp, tell us, as a former IRS Office of Chief Counsel, what is it that you're seeing has happened with the IRS? And was this an act of the violating the Constitution? Was the IRS being used to punish people who may disagree with the White House?
Well, understand first, my perspective is one from a conehead that used to work in the national office, or as Tom might say, the belly of the beast. Well, we would like to say the brains of the beast. And the problem that occurred appears to have been, at least in my eyes, something that is very common in large organizations like the Internal Revenue Service. And it's not really partisan politics. It's more like, I'd say, bureaucratic politics. And here's what I mean by that. If you look at the Treasury General, the Treasury Inspector General's report, that's TIGTA for short, they have a really nice timeline of events in Appendix 7, and it takes you all the way from stuff that happened at the beginning of when they started investigating, which is in March of 2010. That's the time period they started to look at. And what you see, at least what I see there, as an old National Office attorney, is I see, look, the field has a problem. They have an influx of applications from organizations who want to be 501c4, designated as 501c4. You don't have to get the IRS blessing to conduct activities as a 501c4. You can just go do it, and then you just file your Form 990 like any other tax-exempt organization. So this process of requesting clearance isn't something you have to do in order to operate.
All right. So, Mr. Camp, that's a great point to make. So let me ask Tom Shoemaker, did you know that y'all didn't have to file for 501c4? You can just start acting like one, or at least while in the process, you were able to be a 501c4.
Right. In the first year, we filed taxes as a 501c4 without having asked for the approval. But at some point, we decided it would probably be in our benefit to go ahead and get it in writing that we would be eligible for that.
Okay, let me get some callers involved in the conversation. Dan wants to join. Dan, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to pose a question, and then I'll hang up. I was wondering if this was sort of a self-fulfilling scrutiny that maybe in that timeline, 2009, 2010, so many more groups were putting in for this status, and therefore we've got so many more groups that are feeling scrutinized. And I was just wondering if the individual with the IRS background might be able to comment on that. Thanks for taking my call.
Right. Thank you, Dan, for that question. So as Tom Shoemaker pointed out, they were born in San Antonio with this huge explosion of activity with Glenn Beck at the Alamo, and it caught on across the nation. Every town, county, or, you know, every region of the country had Tea Party groups, and they were all filing at the same time. So what did that do over at the IRS headquarters, Brian Camp?
Well, I have look, if you go to some of the blogs and the Internet, you can find that answer out, and that's what I did. If you go over to Journal of Accounting Today, not exactly a rabid publication in either direction, that website reports that there were about 61,000 applications that came in the door with about 200 people to process them. And so there is this problem in the field where they're trying to figure out, look, ideally we'd like to give all of these organizations equal scrutiny, but we don't have the personnel to do that, so we're going to have to sort of compromise on how we do this. Let's come up with a filter to sort of identify those applications which might be more likely to run into some of that political problems, that is to say, the organizations which participate in political campaigns than other organizations. And that way we can approve some of them more quickly and then give the proper scrutiny.
Okay,
so the
all
field
right.
comes up with what they think is a great filter. Turns out it's a pretty not great filter.
Yes, yeah, it backfired. All right, so let me get another caller on the line here. Kevin wants to join the conversation. Kevin, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for taking my call. Just got one question for the Tea Party organization. My question is, since these are all organizations pretty much have one point of view, you know, to me that's not very educational. They're only pushing one message. They're not being in the middle of being, you know, very biased. You know, why should that organization be tax exempt when I don't agree with what they're teaching and I'm paying their bill?
All right, Kevin, thank you for the question. So Tom Shoemaker of the San Antonio Tea Party, How do you justify getting tax-free status when people see you as a political organization?
Well, the Tea Party is not a political organization. We do invite Democrat and Republican and Libertarian candidates to candidates' forums. Only some of those come. It's open to all. We have people in the Tea Party that are Democrats. We have people in the party that are Libertarians that believe in the same things that we believe in. So it's not all one party. We operate apart from any other political party. We do our thing. We pick our candidates by how they represent us in our points of view.
I get the emails from the San Antonio Tea Party, the Reveille Report.
Reveille Report.
Yeah, and like recently you had a meeting, and present at the meeting you had Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, mm-hmm. you had Texas Senator Donna Campbell, mm-hmm. you had Texas Senator Dan Patrick.
Patrick didn't make it.
But they were all supposed to be there. They were invited. You know, these are all from the same party.
Right. We've invited people.
They're
from
Republicans.
Other parties. Yeah, sure. We've invited people. But just to go back to the primary runoff last year, most of the people in the Tea Party, their sentiments didn't go with Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst. And that was.
Right, but they voted for
Ted Cruz,
who is a.
He's a Republican.
Okay, let me get Brian Kemp. He wants to jump in here. Go ahead.
Yeah, 2 points, David. First, I'm not sure it's a requirement to be a C4 that you espouse all viewpoints relative to the position that you're taking in educational, that you're trying to educate people on. So whether or not a particular C4 group says the world is flat and they want to educate people on the flatness of the world, they don't have to present the opposite view, I don't think, to get a C4 status. My second point is the one I'm trying to make earlier, is that the field operation here is trying to come up with a practical way to figure out which returns, which of these applications to look at. They ask the national office for some help. They ask for help in not deciding which applications to look at, but in how they should look at all those applications to be equal, so that the 8-page single-spaced letter that Tom's organization got, and I bet if you look at the bottom, Tom, you're going to see that it was a letter 1312, a pattern letter. Those were developed by the national office headquarters to try to treat all the applicants uniformly. Well, that got kicked up in March or April of 2010, and the national office kicked around in various different bureaucratic crannies until for about 11 or 12 months before anyone noticed that the field was using this criteria to select these particular organizations for scrutiny. And by the way, you know, 2/3 of these organizations weren't Tea Party. They were other types of organizations.
All right, I got somebody who wants to ask.
So that's the politics going on here, is the national office looking over the shoulder of the field, and the field wanting a practical reason, a practical way of doing it. The national office comes back to them 14 months later with this really unhelpful response. Don't use Tea Party. Just use this, generic criteria. And the field goes, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Brian, I need to get another caller on the line. Madeline wants to join the conversation. Madeline, welcome to The Source.
Hi. I think the overwhelming number of conservative organizations is just reflective of the fact that there were more conservative organizations. I, for a fact, know that here in Texas, Progress Texas, which is a liberal group, had the exact same questionnaire and had no problems whatsoever, nor did it limit their work during the primaries or during the election season. They answered the questionnaires. Yes, it was rather onerous, but, you know, that was the only way they could take care of it.
All right, Madeline, thank you for that. And so, Tom Shoemaker, there were progressive groups, liberal groups that were also got these letters. So does that kind of like, you know, make it seem like you weren't targeted, that you weren't exclusively singled out?
You know, David, I'd like to, you know, see what the timeline was from the time they submitted theirs till the time that they were approved, or how long that they had to wait in line. That we don't know. Okay,
yep,
we just
sure
have
do.
A feeling.
You sure know that, Tom. If you go look at the TIGDA report, tells you that starting in October of 2010, all of the applications were put on hold pending in the field. The field stopped working on them because they were waiting for the national office to tell them how to do it. And that continued for over 12 months when the field didn't work on anything, until finally somebody in the national office in late March 2011 says, hey, wait a minute, you guys haven't been working this? You got to start working these and getting these things approved. And the field goes, yeah, well, help us out. And the national office comes back and says, well, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of bureaucratic politics. And you can see it, I suggest, even in the latest news, where you have the folks out in Cincinnati who are giving their testimony. You know what? They're not real friends of the national office folks.
Right, they're asking national for direction. So, Brian, let me get one more question in on this conversation here. John wants to join us. John, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
We're real tight on time.
I have several short comments. Your Tea Party guest is being disingenuous. He said he was already running his organization and collecting money for an entire year. The IRS did not tell you to stop. No one told you to stop. And you can't sue over a misunderstanding. You also can't sue that you were discriminated against because the government agency was actually just doing their job and enforcing the law. And that's what I've got to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John. So, I mean, people are saying this is a scandal. We're having hearings in Washington, D.C., and lawsuits are being filed. Tom, you're part of one. So what is the scandal? What is going on? What do you think needs to happen?
What needs to happen is exactly what is happening now, an examination of what occurred. And I appreciate Brian's explanation. It's the first time I've heard it explained quite that way, that maybe that it's just bureaucracy. But why not just get it out in the open and see what it was?
Okay.
And my last thought on that, David, is that if you're going to have an investigation, do it right. Don't have congressmen and their staff doing an investigation. You need to have an independent group. You need to have the Treasury Inspector General. You need to have somebody who has no political access.
And we're running out of time, and you have the Speaker Boehner saying someone's going to go to jail for this before the facts are even established. Anyway, we're out of time on this topic. Thank you so much for joining us. Tom Shoemaker, VP of Communications for the San Antonio Tea Party. Brian Camp, former IRS Office of Chief Counsel, now a law professor at Texas Tech. More Source coming up after the break.